Tonight I want to give a message. It's going to be called, In All Things, Give Thanks. Even through the sad times, even through the bad times, even through the painful times. Amen. Here's what the Bible says in Psalms 105, verse 1. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Psalm 106, verse 1 says, Praise the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Rejoice always. You know, my wife and I worked with the youth group for about 17 years. And I remember one Wednesday night, we have a gymnasium in our church, and we usually played dodgeball before we did any Bible studies. And some of them guys would just whip them balls, just trying to kill each other with them things, you know. And we had a rule that if you throw the balls at the girls, you had to use your left hand. Unless you were left-handed, then you had to use your right hand. But them guys were vicious. And after they beat one another in dodgeball, we went into the sanctuary. It was going to have a Bible study. And it got black as coal. The wind started howling. And they said there was a tornado that touched down north of the church. And there was a tree out in the parking lot we were watching. It looked like it was going to blow over. It was pretty scary. And all the power went out. And a message I had planned that evening, we needed our Bibles to get out. And so much for that, we couldn't read our Bibles. They found a few candles. And I decided, well, what are we going to do? So I decided, you know, I'm going to ask some of the kids to see if they'd want to give their testimony, how they came to Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And in the sanctuary of the church, under candlelights, one after another came up and told the other teenagers how the Lord changed their life, how they came to Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, one after another. What a blessed evening. And a few kids came up afterwards and they shared they had some problems. And we prayed. And we all left on cloud nine that night. You know, I had planned my thing. But the Lord had planned something better. He planned that the electric would go out. He planned it'd be a storm to go by. So those kids give their testimony. One kid says, raise his hand, says, Gary, can we do the same thing next year? That was real blessing. One we wouldn't even thought of in a time of scariness, the black, cold darkness of that night, the Holy Spirit shined and poured out, and we were blessed. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, it says, Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's hard to do sometimes in the sad times and the bad times to say, Praise the Lord, huh? I remember getting laid off, losing my job. I didn't say, Praise the Lord, I lost my job. You know, that just isn't natural, is it? No. And I wasn't a Christian at the time anyways. And where I work, I've worked there for 34 years now. In tool and die work and welding. And I bet I've been laid off at least six times, maybe more, over those 34 years. I remember first, I started there when I was about 18, fresh out of high school. Worked in the factory, trying to get a job in apprenticeship, tool and die work. And I remember I was 19 years old, got laid off. I didn't know what to do. So I found a job doing construction work. And I was kind of scared of heights, but I still did construction work. I remember on this one house we were doing, the contractor said from the peak to the floor was like 5 stories high because it was on a hill. And it went out over the hill overlooking a lake. It was pretty scary. And in the middle of winter with the snow on the boards that we walked way out around on scaffolding, putting that house together, putting shingles on, cold zero weather some of the time. And then the summer it got hot and sticky, putting on roofs. But Lord provided, and I was dating a gal back at that time named Nancy. Then I got called back to CTS, got on my apprenticeship program. Praise the Lord for that. And Nancy and I were going to get married. Guess what happened? I got laid off again. Still wasn't a Christian at the time, and I sure wasn't praising the Lord for another layoff by the time I was going to be getting married that spring. But I found a job at Labor Pumps, grinding pump shafts. Learned how to grind pump shafts. Real precise, within a plus or minus of a tenth of a thousandth of an inch. You had to hold close tolerances. Well, then I got called back. I got married, and while I was still working at Labor Pumps, and got called back to CTS again. Worked for a while, got laid off again, worked at Star Machine. Got called back to CTS again, back on my apprenticeship. A few years later, guess what happened? Got laid off again. But at that time, I had just become a Christian. And I'm asking the Lord, why? Why, Lord? Why am I getting laid off? I was a young person in Christ and didn't know to praise the Lord in all things. But I hung in there, and I got a job at Quarries Tool and Die in Edwardsburg. Ran a big lathe. Learned a lot of things about running a lathe there. Learned how to do internal and external Acme threads and a lot of things like that I'd never done before. Then I got called back, CTS again. Got back on apprenticeship. And I got laid off again. By that time, I was a journeyman. I figured I'd go back to Quarries Tool and Die and get a job running a lathe again. Well, I go back, and they said, yeah, we'll hire you. We'll have you start on a lathe. So I wheel in all my tools into the shop, and the boss comes up to me and says, you know, we changed our mind. We're not going to have you run a lathe. We got this boring mill we're going to have you run. And I didn't tell the boss this, but I had never ran a boring mill in my whole life. And he put me on the biggest one they had. This is a big dude. And I was kind of sweating it, but, you know, did a lot of praying. Lord, you're the one in control. You're the one that got me this job. You're going to have to take care of me. And he had a few guys there that helped me, a guy named Russ and a guy named Haas. They, if I had any problems on figuring out how to do this or that on that boring mill, they were more than happy to show me. And praise the Lord for that, because I don't know if some of you guys have been in shops. Some guys don't cooperate. Trying to help another person. But the Lord sent these guys. And Haas, he was a unique guy. He was born in Germany. He served his apprenticeship in Germany. And old Haas, he kind of liked the sauce. He kind of liked the drinking. And he'd come in to work once in a while, kind of snookered, kind of drunk, kind of red-eyed. And we had kind of a joke when he'd when I knew he wasn't coming in, he was running late, I'd go over to his calendar and I'd draw a broken arrow on his calendar. And if he'd come in and he wasn't drunk or whatever, I'd write a straight arrow, because he was a straight arrow that day. He's following a straight and narrow. So we had that little inside joke and got to be pretty good friends. And he was going to go on vacation to Germany, visit relatives. And out of all the guys he's worked with, he asked me to watch his house while he was gone. I thought that was a great honor. He didn't know me that well, but he felt that he trusted me enough to watch his house and his belongings while he was gone. So I thought that was a real honor. And then I'm running my boring mill one day, and the boss is walking this guy through the plant. And I know this guy. He used to work at CTS years and years ago. And he was a hard guy to get along with. I seen him get mad once at the shop and take a ball peen hammer and just whip it across the floor. And a lot of guys didn't like him. And I'm thinking, man, I hope he doesn't get a job here. You know, here I'm a Christian. I'm saying, Lord, please don't let Terry get a job here. And that's probably not the right Christian attitude, but I knew how the guy was. He was something. Well, guess what? He got a job there. And guess what machine he ran on nights? The same machine I ran on days. So every day, about 3 o'clock, he would come in. And sometimes he'd come in a little snookered himself. And I'd have to always tell him what job we were on and where I was on the process of this job. On these boring mills, you sometimes have some huge pieces of metal on there, and they're worth thousands and thousands of dollars. And if you don't drill and machine the holes in the right spot, you can scrap it, scrap the whole thing. And if you put the wrong size hole in the wrong spot, you can scrap it. Well, I would always sit down, study the prints, and write out a sheet of paper exactly what moves I had to make. So many thousands this way, so many thousands that way. What drill I was supposed to use, what reamers I was supposed to use, what drills or taps, whatever. Write it all down. And to run this machine, you'd sit down in front of it. So I'd take a magnet and put that little sheet of paper right square in front of me. So when I'm making all these moves, I'm doing them right. Well, Terry comes in one day and says, why are you doing it that way? And I told him, well, that way I won't scrap anything. He said, well, that's stupid. I wouldn't do that way. Don't do it that way. And I told him, hey, this is my job. I'm going to do it the way I want to on days. You do whatever you want to on nights. So next day he comes in and I got my little piece of paper right there in front of my face here. I'm cranking handles. He comes over. He's madder than a hornet. He takes out a cigarette lighter, lights my paper right in front of my nose. So I grab that thing and I to put it on the ground and stomp it out. And he says, I told you, I didn't want you to do it that way. And, you know, the Lord's teaching me patience, I'll tell you. And he's testing me. What a challenge. What a quest. I'm thinking, Lord, whatever he does, I'm going to be nice to him. I'm going to try to be that Christian witness. And I told him just again, I told him, well, this is the way I do it, and I'm going to keep doing it that way. Well, he didn't like that idea. Well, let's see. What did he do next? Oh, one day he came in. He said I wasn't cleaning the machine good enough for him. So I left the machine messy for him. Well, after that, I cleaned that machine spick and span. So when he came in, he didn't have any complaints. Then another day, I come into work, and my toolbox is kind of along the wall, and there's some windows above my toolbox. And I come in, my toolbox is all, the lid's all smashed in. I wonder, what in the world happened to my toolbox? Well, I didn't say anything to Terry. I waited a few days to see if he'd say anything. Well, he didn't, so I said, Terry, do you happen to know what happened to my toolbox? He says, oh, that piece of junk. He says, I was trying to open that window up there and was standing on it and it caved in. I said, well, okay, whatever. Praise the Lord. In all things, give thanks, right? Okay. So, being a Christian, you know, I'm trying to, what would Jesus do, you know? And my buddy Haas, he sees what goes on over there. And Haas says, you know, you see that window over there? I said, yeah. He says, well, if I was you, I would have took that guy and he'd be out that window 6 foot under by now. I said, okay, yeah, I know. He does try my patience. And then I figured, well, I'm going to go the extra mile. My wife is a real good cook and she baked me a bunch of these oatmeal cookies. Oh, they're delicious. And I had a container full of them, and I didn't eat them all. So I said, hey, Terry. When he came, I said, hey, Terry, My wife baked these cookies. I didn't eat them all, and you can have the rest of them. He grabs one of them cookies, he takes a few bites out of it, and then he whips the rest of it on the floor. He says, these cookies taste like... Burr! He had a few cuss words. And I said, well, they tasted good to me. So, but that was Terry. He was... tried my patience and stuff, but, you know, years later, I heard that Terry died in a bad car accident. And, you know, a lot of people would have considered Terry an enemy. But, you know, if he would have came to Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior, I don't know if he ever did. But the Lord can change an enemy to a brother. A brother or sister in Jesus Christ. And I hope that he made that choice. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you know, through these layoffs, I can look back and I can thank the Lord Jesus Christ for laying me off so many times. Because, you know, sometimes we get in our comfort zones, our safety zones, and we don't want to go out past them. We're scared. We don't know what's out there. We don't know if we can handle that job. But I learned a lot of things, and such a praise, such a blessing to go through those layoffs. Because I learned how to build houses and do carpenter work. I learned how to run an OD grinder and run it very precisely. I learned how to run a big boring mill and learned all sorts of special tricks and setups. I learned how to run the lathe and all the Acme threads and all the other special setups and that. And I learned patience through some people. And I also met a lot of friends, new friends, people that I would have never met otherwise and wouldn't have been able to witness to them. A lot of times we say, no, Lord, not that. But sometimes he sends us away from our comfort zones to help us grow, to help us learn, to help us mature, to help us trust in him, to build our faith in him. An opportunity to witness to people we would have never met otherwise. What a blessing. And it gave me self-confidence that I could handle jobs. In Philippians 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths, thanking God always for all things. Another thing a lot of times we don't praise the Lord for is injuries. People that know me know I've had my share of injuries. Right, Carl? Right, Leroy? I've had 2 rotator cuff surgeries, one on each side. I've had 3 hernia surgeries, gallbladder surgery, hand surgery, knee surgery, eye surgery. Praise the Lord, huh? For all that pain. But there are blessings through some of those injuries. I'm going to tell you about them. Praise the Lord, I got in a car accident and tore my rotator cuff, huh? And messed up my hand. Well, that's what I did. It was painful. And I love to hunt with a bow and arrow. I love archery. I couldn't even pull my bow back. So I had to have surgery on my shoulder. But you know, the same time I was off because of my surgery, I'm off from work. A good friend of mine, Gordon, was dying. He had a brain tumor right at the base of his neck, right on his brain stem. And during that time, I was off work. I was able to go to his house and read the Word of God with him. There was a time I was able to get out these daily bread devotionals and read them to him. We shared and prayed. And it just so happened, therapy I was getting for my shoulder, he had to go to therapy also to try to keep his motor functions going because he was losing a lot of his ability to move. So he had to go to therapy also. We got to go to therapy at the same time in the same building. So that was a real blessing. And Gordon told me before he died that he wanted me to do his funeral. He wanted the gospel to be preached at his funeral. He wanted people to know about Jesus because he loved the Lord himself. So when Gordon died, I did his funeral and preached the gospel. So praise God for the rotator cuff surgery. In all things, give thanks. Another time I was in a hospital for 3 days, I had surgery, had a lot of pain. I remember laying there, and two student nurses came into the room, and they said, "We're studying to be nurses, and for part of our schooling, we had to ask some of the patients what they think of death." And I said, "Hey, come on in, I'll tell you all about what I think of death." And I told them about Jesus and how I wasn't afraid of death because I know I'm going to heaven. And it wasn't because I was good or kind or anything, because I'm none of those things. It's because I asked Jesus Christ in my heart to be my Lord, my Savior. And I gave him the gospel and gave him some Bible tracts. And while I was in that room, there was a young boy, probably junior high age, named Jason. And he didn't talk much. He was in a lot of pain. He had ruptured his spleen, and he was in the hospital for that. And I didn't think I made much of an impact on little Jason. But before I left the hospital, Jason's mom said, "Can I have your address and telephone number? Because when Jason gets better, he wants to come to your house and visit." So praise the Lord. In all things, give thanks. And all these pains and surgeries I've had, the Lord gave me a doctor's ministry. You know, a lot of times if you'd go to a doctor's house and knock on the door, he probably wouldn't want to talk to you, you know, about the Lord. Well, when you're in his office and you're paying him, he'll listen to you a little more. And I'd take in, a lot of times, like tonight, I'm preaching this message here and I'm taping it. And I take them home and I make CDs. And I give them out to everybody I can. And when I go to the doctor's offices, I give them these messages, the Word of God. And I'll give them one of these devotionals, the daily breads. And the nurses and receptionists, whoever I can. I was at the eye doctor the other day, and I gave out 2 CDs and 6 daily breads. I went to my hand doctor a week and a half ago to get a cortisone shot. And Lord bless, I gave the doctor 3 CDs and a daily bread and a nurse a daily bread and another gal a daily bread. And you never know where these seeds may be planted. You reap what you sow. And we need to have, if we're a soldier going to battle, we'd want to carry our gun and our ammo. And we're soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to carry our ammo. Maybe it's a daily bread. Maybe it's a gospel tract. Maybe it's a preaching CD. We need to always be ready. But praise the Lord for these times. I remember one doctor, a foot doctor I went to. I was having foot problems. And I gave him first time I met him, I gave him a daily bread. I gave him a CD or two. And found out he's just been saved 3 months earlier. Went back to him a couple more times. Said, "Hey, I appreciated that daily bread and them CDs." I said, "Hey, I got more. You want more?" So I gave him some more. And went back to him a few other times, and he said I had to have this special splint to put on my foot when I go to bed, something to do with my tendons. And he said, "The nurse will be in and fit you for this splint you got to have." So the nurse came in, she's telling me about it, and I asked her, "Is my insurance going to cover this splint?" And she says, "Let me go check." She came back, says, "No, this splint isn't covered under your insurance, and it'll cost you $127. I said, "Well, could you ask the doctor if he could just give me some exercises to do instead of, I didn't really want to pay out that kind of money for a splint." So the doctor, he comes in the room after hearing this. He says, Gary, don't even worry about that. He says, you gave me these daily breads and these CDs. You blessed me with these. I'm buying the splint for you. So, man, isn't that neat how the Lord blesses over and abundantly? I could go on and on how things like that's happened. The Lord is good. Even through these pains and sufferings that I've went through, I had some blessings. Met a lot of doctors. Made a lot of friends. So the Lord is always good. Now, I've told you a lot of aches and pains and stuff I've been through. I'm going to tell you something real neat how the Lord blessed once. On July 26, the year 2000, my wife and I were going to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary, okay? And my wife likes to travel, but I'm not a big traveler. And the place she would want to go over any place in the world would be Scotland, okay? Well, earlier that year, 2 or 3 months earlier, the boss says, well, we may have to send you out of the country to go work on some machinery. I said, okay. I asked him, well, where will it be? He says, it's going to be Scotland. I said, Scotland? Whoa. And you know, things all worked out that 2 days after our 25th wedding anniversary, we're off to Scotland for 2 weeks. I had to go to work, but in the evenings, I was always free, things to do. What an exciting time. I decided while we were going, I'm going to take a bunch of, at that time I didn't have CDs, I had tapes. I took about 40 tapes, took a whole bunch of daily breads, Bible tracts, and some other books. I figured, since I'm going over there, I might as well do a little missionary outreach while I'm there. Well, the Lord blessed. Met a lot of new people, a lot of new friends there in Scotland. And there was a guy from work, he took the wife and I out to dinner one night in his fancy restaurant. And it's different over there in Scotland. Like, we have the malls and stuff. We was in a little town called Blantyre. I think it's Blantyre. Wow. Blantyre, or one next to it. There's a couple towns around there I get them mixed up. But we was there, and the town closes down like at 5 o'clock in the evening. It's just like an old town with the store's right on the main street. And the main street wasn't that long. You could about see from one end to the other. And 5 o'clock, stores close up, and people just kind of go to the parks and walk the dogs and stuff. That's what they do in the evenings. So we'd walk around in the parks in the evenings and meet people and talk to them about the dogs. I used to train dogs, raise dogs, and we had some, even brought some pictures of some of our dogs. We'd share them with these people, and before we'd get done talking to them, I'd give them a tape or daily bread or something, and met a lot of people. One day, we were walking down the street, and there's an elderly couple pushing their little grandchild in a baby buggy. And we started talking to them for a while, and they invited us to our house. So the next day, Nancy, my wife, went over there to their house and talked to them for quite a while. And she told them that I go to the jail sometimes and preach and do the youth group and stuff at our church. And the elderly man has been an atheist, never believed in Jesus, never believed in God. So we both went over there when I got off work, and that guy had a tons of questions for me. And every question I answered through the Word of God, because the Word of God, the Bible says, will not return void. And it's more powerful than any two-edged sword. And I gave him some tapes, and I also gave him this book written by Josh McDowell. Josh McDowell was a man that was an atheist, and he was going to prove that the Bible was false, was a storybook. And he started reading the Bible on his own, and he got saved. And he wrote this book, More Than a Carpenter. Jesus was more than a carpenter. So I gave that book to that man. And before we left, the old man says, you know, we're going to go to church next Sunday. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. And he also said, if you're ever back in this country again, we got an extra room. You can stay at our house. What a blessing. And there was a church in this little town. And a lot of churches in Scotland, I think, are dying. They're owned by the state. And we're trying to find a church to go to that Sunday. And we've seen this church that was advertising like a Wednesday service and a Sunday service. And we figured if it had more than one service a week, it might be a church that preached the gospel. So we went there Wednesday night. And the church was closed because of some holiday. But one of the deacons was there working in there, redoing the kitchen. And we were talking to him for a while. And he says, if you come to church Sunday, after church, we'll invite you over our house for dinner. So we went to church that Sunday, and then he drove us to their house. They treated us like kings. We had a great meal. Then all afternoon, they took us out sightseeing. And that following Tuesday, they picked up my wife at the hotel. The ladies from the church did, took her out to eat, and took her out sightseeing. What a blessing. All these things that came about. And it was about our last night. Oh, the town that we were at was called Bothwell. And we decided to walk the last night of our stay there, and we were walking along the river. And I told the wife that I had 5 or 8 tapes left that I wasn't able to give the people. Now, I was praying, Lord, what can I do with these tapes? I'd like to leave them here to share the gospel with people. And while we're walking along the river, we met this old fella. He was fishing along the bank. Started talking to him. Found out he was a Christian. He lived in the town across the river. And I told him I had these tapes, and I didn't know what to do with them. He says, you give those tapes to me, and I'll make copies of them. And I'll pass them out. So isn't that awesome how the Lord works? Over and abundantly. Wow. In all things, give thanks. That was the year 2000. That was in July and August. Later on that fall, or you might want to call it winter, November 15th, a day I'll never forget. It's the day my mom died. 20 days later, my dad died. 6 days later, my aunt died. In all things, give thanks. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. And November 15th was a special day to me anyways. I have a hard time remembering dates, birthdays of people and this and that, but there's one day out of the whole year that I always remember. I'm a big deer hunter. Ever since I was in high school, I was a big deer hunter. November 15th was the opening day of gun season for deer hunting. I'd take off work, take out of school, whatever. Every year I was off November 15th. November 15th is the day my mom died. Out of all the days, 365 days of a year, that's the day she died. Special day. But you know, my dad, we all thought my dad was going to pass before my mom. My dad was already in a nursing home. He had Alzheimer's. He used to be a big strapping man that was always in control. But he's in a nursing home. He was probably down about 85 pounds, wearing diapers. They had to feed him like a baby with a spoon. I'd always pray, Lord, take him home, take him home. I don't want to see him like this. And my mom would visit him every day at the nursing home. She seemed to be very healthy. She'd drive in her car every day to visit my dad in the nursing home. And we all thought my dad would go before my mom. But my mom had a secret she wasn't telling. Doctors thought she had diverticulitis. She went to the hospital. She was driving till the day she went to the hospital. They cut her open. She was full of ovarian cancer. They just closed her back up, put a colostomy bag on her. I was there after surgery, when she came to, the doctor wanted to talk to her and the family. Doctor went in the room and he says, "Mrs. Gaskell, you don't have much chance to live. You got ovarian cancer spread. It's inoperable." Morelos told her she's going to die. You know what she said? She said, "Whatever the Lord's will is," because she was a strong spiritual lady. Her body was physically weak, but she was a giant spiritually. She was ready to go. She knew she was right with the Lord. "Whatever the Lord's will is." And they gave her a strong dose of chemo. This doctor thought chemotherapy might zonk it. I think he was, I don't even think he knew what he was doing. Because the chemotherapy, the strong dose, is what finished her off. She was in the hospital for just a few weeks. And I remember she died on a Wednesday. The Sunday before she died, the Lord blessed her with a great day. All the relatives and the friends came in to visit her at the hospital. She was perky. She was talking. She was laughing. She was saying her last goodbyes that Sunday. The next day, Monday, I go to the hospital to visit her. She's so weak, she can't even talk. But I remember this day walking in that room. She had a smile from ear to ear when I walked in that room. She couldn't speak. That smile, won't forget. She was smiling until the day she died. That Tuesday, she went in a coma. Wednesday morning, she died. All things give thanks. Before she died, she said, "Gary, I want you to preach Jesus at my funeral. Because there's a lot of friends and relatives that don't know the Lord, that need to hear the gospel. It's the hardest message I ever gave, with my mom in a casket right behind me. But I preached Jesus." And I know she's in heaven. And 20 days later, my dad died. I didn't preach at his funeral because I had all the people that was at my mom's funeral came to my dad's funeral, played my accordion, Amazing Grace, my dad's funeral. Then 6 days later, my aunt died, and my cousin calls. He says, "My mom's died." He's crying. He says, "Gary, will you give her funeral?" I said, "Sure." That side of the family, most of them didn't go to church. So they didn't know who to get. So they asked me if I'd give her funeral. And I preached the gospel at her funeral. And the Lord blessed. A week later, I led my uncle to the Lord. "In all things, give thanks." And it just seemed, when my mom died, it just was like a spark that got a fire going. People coming to Christ. I remember the day after I gave my mom's funeral, I preached here at the jail. Three men. I preached at the jail and told them about my mom. And three men came forward, except Jesus Christ as their Savior. It was 3 years after my mom's funeral, a lady called me just out of the blue. She says, "You don't know me, but I was at your mom's funeral. My husband's dying of Alzheimer's, just like your dad. Could you preach like you did at your mom's funeral for my husband?" I said, "Sure." So I preached Jesus at that lady's husband's funeral. Preached the gospel. And you know, my mom and my dad, they're in heaven. And the Bible says, Revelations 21:4. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are all passed away. Praise God. In all things, give thanks. I've been coming to this jail for 16 years. And I've seen a lot of people come to Christ. And I got a fellow that came to Christ here one night. His name was Wayne. I'll never forget Wayne. Wayne came in here and he had just straggly long hair that looked like he never washed it. He's just a rough looking guy. He'd been on drugs for 10 years. He's 17 when he started doing drugs. He's 27 when I met him. And after the message, he come up forward to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. And I said the sinner's prayer with him. He repeated the sinner's prayer out loud. He bellered it out louder than anybody I've ever heard. You could heard it all over the jail. He was crying. He was doing business with Jesus. He got right with Jesus Christ. And he asked me if I would call his wife and tell him what he did. I said, sure. So I called his wife and told him, you know, Wayne accepted Christ tonight as his Lord and his Savior. She said, he's just a liar. He played all these games. He's been in and out of jail. I'm tired of listening to him. He plays the games. I said, well, I'm not judging him either way. I don't know him that well, but it seems to me like he's doing business with Jesus. And I started coming here, seeing Wayne, visited him, and I told him what his wife said. He said, well, I don't doubt it. You know, I've said a lot of things, done a lot of things. I don't blame her at all. I told him, Wayne, you're just going to have to earn your trust. Talk's cheap. She's going to have to see a change in your life. So Wayne, he came to Christ in September. And in December, I got this letter from Wayne here from the Cass County Jail. He sent me this letter. He says, Dear Gary, I would like to thank you so much for your support. You have really helped me. No matter what my future holds, I will serve God for the rest of my life. You know, just a short time ago, I was ready to end my life. I have lost my wife and hurt so many people. But now that Jesus is in my heart, I feel like a new person. I still hurt when I think about my wife. But if I wait upon the Lord, I'm sure He will take care of me and take care of things. Again, I thank you for telling me about Jesus and your prayers and your calls to my wife and your Christmas cards, Bible tracts. I hope to see you again soon, hopefully in the free world. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And Christian love, Wayne. Wayne was hoping to get out of jail. But he didn't. He got sentenced for 7 years up at Jackson Prison. Here's a year later, in December, a year later, I got this letter from Wayne from Jackson Prison. Dear Gary, how are things with you? He says, I'm doing good. I just want to let you know that I'm still alive. And I still love the Lord with all my heart. I'm happy with my life. It's a real blessing coming here. A real blessing coming here. He's at Jackson Prison. What do we say? In all things, give thanks. And that's what he's doing here. He had a change. For somebody to write this, he had a change. Huh? It's a real blessing coming here. The Lord has opened up my eyes. And I really feel the love flowing through my veins. I wouldn't give up all I've been through for anything in the world. I'm free no matter where I'm at. And that's a real good feeling. You take care. Keep me in your prayers, will you? Your friend in Christ, Wayne. What a blessing. What a blessing. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things give thanks. Bible says in Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the trials of our faith refine us like fine gold. Do your trials bring you closer to God? Or they turn you off from God? You shake your fist at God saying, why, Lord, why? It's our choice. We can take it either way we want. It's our free will and free choice. We can grow spiritually. Or we can grow in the flesh. It's our choice. Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior here tonight? If you die today, do you know for sure, without a doubt, you'd be in heaven? It took me 25 years before I came to Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I grew up in a Christian home. My mom would take us to church every Sunday, and she would teach Sunday school class to the little kids on the first floor of the church. My Sunday school class was on the second floor of the church. And I hated so much to go to my Sunday school class that if I could sneak up to the second floor to the restroom without the teacher seeing me, I'd lock myself into the bathroom and stay there during the whole time of Sunday school. And when you'd hear people starting to walk through the hall, Sunday school class was over, I'd just unlock the door, walk out like nothing happened. My mom never knew that I would hide in the restroom of the church to stay away from Sunday school class. And the reason I hated to go to Sunday school class wasn't because of the Bible studies or whatever, but the teacher would get us all in a big circle, and one at a time, the teacher would make us read out loud in front of the rest of the class. And you know, I was a poor reader. I was a poor speller. I always stuttered. And to get me in front of the whole class and make me do that embarrassed me. I felt like hiding under a rock. So that's why I hated to go to Sunday school class. And when I got older, my mom says, well, you're going to become a member of this church. And I said, no, I'm not. I was in junior high about that time. And my mom says, yes, you're going to membership class. And my dad was a policeman. And he would pick me up from school and take me right to the front of that church door by the squad car to make sure that I went to these membership classes. I was there physically, but I didn't do anything else. Preacher would tell us what to do and what to memorize, what things to write down, and I just sat there the whole time, just doodling, just rebelling. And you know, I was the only one in that class that flunked. I flunked church. And after that, they didn't bother me anymore about being a member of the church. So I stopped going to church. Later on in life, I realized at the age of 25 I needed Jesus Christ as my Lord, my Savior. And I remember going out to a barn in the middle of the night looking at the stars. It was in August or September, at the age of 25, and asking Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. And he changed my life. He changed my priorities. Like the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I started hunting for a church, started growing in the Lord. And a year, we found a church, and a year later, my wife asked Jesus Christ into her heart to be her Lord and her Savior. We became members of the church. And later on, they asked us to teach a Sunday school class. And I'll tell you, I grew the most I ever grew was when I was teaching that Sunday school class, because I wanted these kids to know the true Word of God. Where I used to go to church, a preacher had a Bible, but he never seemed to use it. I never heard about being born again, being saved. I wanted these kids to know the truth. The Bible says, know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And started teaching Sunday school class. Later on, started working with the youth, and did the work of a youth pastor for 17 years. I've been coming here to the jail for 16 years. And I'm telling you all this because don't look at Gary. Don't say, hey, wow, look what he's done. It's not me at all. Jesus Christ took a young boy that hated to go to church, hated to get it up in front of a group, hated to read out loud. A boy used to take special reading classes, special speech classes, special spelling classes in school. And he took that boy. And now he's telling you about Jesus Christ. I'm standing in front of a group. Jesus Christ changed my life, my priorities. And he gives me that burden to tell other people about Jesus. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, today's the day to get right with Him. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ says in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John 3, 16 through 18. Jesus Christ says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world may be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? If not, why not? It's time to get right. We're going to give an altar call now. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, come up. Get right with Him. Stand for Jesus Christ. In Matthew 10:32 and 10:33, Jesus Christ says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Stand for Jesus Christ. Yes, with Jesus Christ, we can give thanks always for all things. Praise God. Come on forward as the song plays. Get right with Jesus Christ.
Fighting battles they're struggling to win. Time has come, give them to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. You don't have to carry those burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness. There's a love that's true. Jesus is waiting. He is waiting here for you. The time has come to give in to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. Father is praying with his son. Mother kneels beside them, thanking God they've come. An old man is standing there in tears, giving up a part of him that he's held back for years. Hearts are being broken, lives are being changed. Those who call upon him, they will never be the same. The time has come to give in to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. You don't have to carry those burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness. There's a love that's true. Jesus is waiting. He is waiting here for you. Come quickly now before they close the door. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. You don't have to carry those burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness. There's a love that's true.
Thank you, kind Heavenly Father, that you loved us so much. You came down and died on the cross for each and every one of us here today. If there's anyone here that's not for sure, they're on their way to heaven. Tug on their heart. We're not guaranteed our next breath. Today could be the last day. Would we be in heaven? Or would we be in hell? There's no middle of the road. There's no purgatory. And those that are Christians, tug on our hearts. We represent you. This week, we represent you at school, in the workplaces. It's an awesome responsibility. We need to live it, not just talk it. Thank you, Lord, for your word, love, And thank you, Lord, that we can give thanks in all things. We can rejoice always in you, because we know that someday there will be no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more tears, no more pain. The former things will pass away, and all things will be new. Let us leave here rejoicing in you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ralph?